Well, it's part of our ongoing work, really. It is a work of thanksgiving we're going to hear this morning. I invite you to open a Bible with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. The words will be on a screen in just a moment as well. In one of the most well-known lines from William Shakespeare's play Hamlet, Hamlet says the line, "To be or not to be." Now, in full disclosure, I know a little bit about Shakespeare. I understand he's really talking about what's the meaning of life? Is it better to live or to die? And I'm not tackling that quandary this morning. I only assure you that the Apostle Paul has the best possible answer to that very quandary, and that is for me to live as Christ, he says. And so, of course, it is better to live for him. My intent in raising it is simply to borrow the line for a moment. And to put a Simonism on it and say, to be thankful or not to be thankful? That's the question. And it's the one we're going to look at this morning. As we open God's Word, we're going to find that God is very clear that it's not even a question that needs an answer because it is answered. God answers it for us, and we ought to be a thankful people. Listen and follow along as we look to God's Word this morning. Colossians 3, 15 to 17. Listen, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is God's word here for us this morning. In some form or another, if you keep your Bible open, you'll see that thanksgiving appears three times in this short passage. And I'm going to talk about each of them in a moment, but here's verse 15. It tells us we're instructed. We're not asked. We're instructed to be thankful. Verse 16 tells us we're directed to sing with gratitude. Isn't that something? We're directed to do this, to sing with gratitude, or other translations will say, to sing with thanksgiving in your heart. And then verse 17, we are charged to do everything giving thanks to God the Father. It's worth noting, and mostly because I love Google. Google reveals so much to me that I don't want to know, but some that I do. And I thought, well, what's this Thanksgiving thing like in general? What's the internet tell me about Thanksgiving? And I came across quite a few articles which weren't very excited about Thanksgiving at all. And there were some in which you said, you know, you can give or take it, Thanksgiving. And then I get to our passage this morning and realize that God doesn't really give us an option when it comes to giving thanks. You don't get to, actually, if your life is in Christ, and let's be clear that the gospel has to sing over all of this. Thanksgiving isn't something we get to take or leave. The problem is that that's sometimes how we approach, not just Thanksgiving Day, I mean, this is just a day, I get that, but Thanksgiving in general, in what Paul is talking about here in Colossians 3, to be a people who recognize that God wants this from us. So to be thankful or to not be thankful is a question that God answers for us very directly in our passage this morning. But before we get to that, maybe it's worth just saying that one of the reasons, my perspective is, one of the reasons it's hard for us to be grateful is that it's so easy to be ungrateful. And I thought about it a bit this week, and here's some examples. You have a roof over your head, as I do. We have a safe place and space to sleep at night, shelter from the elements. But what we often hear is, did you know how much property tax I paid this year? Or we'll talk about all the improvements we'd like to make, or the cost of the heating bill, or the fact that we need a new roof, or any other one of the home improvement projects, which I certainly have even on my own list. I talked with somebody a few weeks ago, and we were talking a bit about this Thanksgiving season, and I said, aren't you grateful that you have food in your pantry? And the first thing out of his mouth was, but you know it costs a lot more than it used to? I get it. In general, and I say this in general because I know that there's some health issues here, at, even in this room this morning, but in general, we have good health. But when I ask people, well, how are you feeling? More often than not, and it's not all the time, but more often than not, and I'm over 50 now, so I'm in that crowd, I'll say, man, I felt so much better 10 years ago. Or I felt so much better 20 years ago. And some of you could probably say I felt so much better 60 years ago, but that's even older than I am. We have this ability to be a bit ungrateful. Now, this is low-hanging fruit, but it's worth mentioning. The world in which we live hardly helps us in this regard, doesn't it? It tends to cultivate ingratitude. How many of you are familiar with HGTV, right? Home improvement show? That's a it's actually fun to watch, but it's you get it, and all of a sudden you realize that if you just had $50,000 more and a team of experts, your house could look even better, right? And commercials. I'm just going to give you a quick summary of what I wrote about commercials. Commercials exist to tell us that my car needs to be replaced, my clothes are out of style, my body is out of proportion, and Progressive can save me from becoming like my parents. Some of the best commercials out there. My favorite one when he's grilling and he says, you know, he's got that cooking, terrible stuff, right? But that's what commercial, and all of that to say, it takes work to be thankful, doesn't it? To be thankful or to not be thankful. And God's word says to us this morning, you really don't have an option. He expects it of us. This section here in Colossians 3, 15 to 17 is part of a larger section of Colossians in which at the title in the NIV anyways, is Rules for Holy Living. Not suggestions, not even recommendations. These are rules, says Paul. This past Sunday, we wrapped up the series on the book of Nehemiah, and I talked about how there are gospel imperatives in the Christian life. We don't get to ignore them. They're fueled by the gospel indicative, because my life is now in Christ, and again, the gospel sings so wonderfully in that. But because my life belongs to Jesus, he therefore now says, follow me. And all of these gospel imperatives come in. And lo and behold, this morning we find out that one of them is gratitude. One of the expectations that God has for you when your life is in Jesus is to be thankful. Now, I recognize sometimes that's hard to muster. But then we see our passage this morning and we find out there's, in the midst of whatever circumstances and whatever conditions and whatever realities we might be in, here God's word says, let me show you where you still can be grateful and why you need to be grateful. These imperatives, again, are fueled by the indicatives of the gospel. So to be thankful or not to be thankful, we really don't have a choice in this if we're in Christ. So let's look at our verses this morning. First one, verse 15, talks about the peace of Christ. The next one talks about the word of Christ. And the third one talks about the name of Christ. If anything, when we leave here this morning and somebody asks you, what are you grateful for? And then here are three quick ones that God's word says to us. The first is the peace of Christ. And Paul says, when the peace of Christ is ruling in your heart and life, and that is a reality when we come to Jesus, and it's the wonderful invitation that I long for all to hear. There's a peace that surpasses understanding. You can't quantify it. You can't qualify it other than Jesus. But when the peace of Christ rules in your hearts, Paul says, be thankful. Think about all the unrest, not only in your own heart, but maybe in your relationships or in your home or at work, and certainly in our world today. And the great message of the gospel says to followers of Jesus, be thankful for the peace of Christ. Be thankful for what Christ has done. And we can go to many other passages and see what that really looks like. Paul says later in the New Testament, for the peace that surpasses all understanding, let that guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We use some of the words that I want to mention here in a moment, and that's in Romans chapter 8, which is really, in many ways, a great passage for being thankful. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 begins, "Now there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus," which fits perfectly with the idea of peace. We are no longer condemned. Nothing can condemn us any longer. And then later on in the passage, probably the more well-known part of it, Paul talks about, well, let me show you, and the list, we only touched it briefly in that litany, but there's an incredible list of all the things that want or try to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And Paul says, not demons, not death, not things present or past, not anything in all of heaven and earth and all of creation, he says, none of it can separate you from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus your Lord. Isn't that wonderful? So now we go to Paul in Colossians 3, verse 15. He says, let me tell you about the peace of Christ. Be thankful for it. Because it means what Paul says elsewhere in Romans 8, that nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Be at peace. In a world that is striving and hungering and thirsting and all these things for the peace which we have, be thankful. Several years ago, I was talking with somebody who was not a follower of Jesus, and they were going through a pretty big turmoil in their life. Quite frankly, it was very devastating for them. And we talked and shared, and he knew of our own journey and our family and the loss of our daughter, and we talked extensively about it. And again, he's not a follower of Jesus, still isn't to this day, and I pray for him regularly. You know his name is Josh. And he said to me something which I hold on to. He says, Simon, I wish I had your peace. And I said, I wish you did too. And I could tell you how to get it. In a world where our ingratitude or ungratefulness is fed, here is what we feed: the peace of Christ. Be thankful. Let's look at the next one. And that's something we ought to take very dear to our hearts as we go back into our world this week. Here's the next one, verse 16. Here he talks about charging us. Again, it's not a suggestion, it's a command, he says. He charges us to sing with gratitude or to sing with thanksgiving. In our hearts, as the word of Christ dwells in us. The passage is really talking about are the things that you have when you become a follower of Jesus. You have the peace of Christ, and now verse 16, you have the word of Christ. Why should we sing about it? In ministry and life, often I hear people say, I wish I knew what God's will was for my life. And if they're not followers of Jesus, they would just simply ask, I wish I knew what my future was. And now we look at verse 16 and say, well, God shows us because he's given us his word. And when that word dwells richly in us, what do we know? What are we grateful for? Well, that he has something for me, and he'll guide me, and he'll lead me. Or Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the Psalms, so many verses, but right in the midst of it is that wonderful verse that says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We should be singing thanksgiving for that. We should be. When it comes to our relationships or finances or work or anything, but ultimately, how to be faithful to Jesus Christ. This is a song that Paul would have us sing. The word of Christ. Elsewhere in this passage, in this verse in particular, he talks about teaching and admonishing one another, because that's also a song of thanksgiving that you give me and I give you. As we continually call each other to dwell in Christ's word. The New Testament is very clear that when we come to Christ, that means we're no longer strangers and wanderers in this world. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And then I'm very grateful that he then gives me his word to direct me. So as I study it, as I read it, as I reflect on it, as it gets in me, not unlike our recent series on Nehemiah here, which most of us probably haven't read as devotional material, and we find out there's so much richness in it about what it means to be faithful and uncompromising and all that stuff in our walk with Jesus. And we say, thank you, God, for your word. I'm going to sing that song. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We're thankful. Be thankful, says Paul, for the peace of Christ. Sing with thanksgiving because of the word of Christ. And now let's look at the next one, verse 17. He says there, whatever you do, do it all, do everything in Jesus' name, giving thanks. So there's your third list item for your thanksgiving again this morning. From the peace of Christ to the word of Christ to the name of Jesus. We have to make much of that. What do we know about the name of Jesus? Paul tells us it's the name in Philippians 2. This is the name that is above every name, and one day every name, every knee will bow that Jesus is Lord. Whether willingly or not, it will happen. Our prayer is it happens willingly. This is why we pray for those who are not walking with Jesus today. But we're so thankful that everything we do ultimately points to that truth. The name of Jesus. The name that is above every name. The name that is freedom. Freedom from a past that we cannot change to a future that is more than we can ask or imagine. Yet I want to be very clear that here in verse 17, it's the doing everything that also is significant. It's through the name of Jesus that we give thanks. It's through, and really this is the heart of verse 17, it's through his name that we're giving thanks. And it's through his name that we care for the least, we proclaim the gospel to the lost, we comfort those who are lonely. Matthew 25, Jesus has this glorious passage about how we visit those who are in prison and clothe the naked and feed the hungry and all of this stuff. And we should be extremely grateful that the name of Jesus calls us into those places and sends us into those spaces where people are crying out for hope. Verse 17, giving thanks. Everything we do, giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ. So let's get back to the question Shakespeare asked, and I adapted a bit this morning. To be thankful or to not be thankful? Well, in light of what Paul says here in Colossians 3, that thanksgiving is what God requires of us, whether we do so well or not, but for the peace of Christ and the word of Christ and the name of Jesus, we have the answer. We need to be thankful. And that's why we're gathered here today. It's a Thursday morning. More than many are getting their big meals ready for the day, and that's fantastic. Some of you may even have them in the oven right now, whatever it may be. But here we're gathered, and we're going to give thanks. That's why we gather on Sundays. It's why today is what every day needs to be. Be thankful. If you have breath in your lungs, you have reason to give thanks. If you can feel the warmth of the sun on your face, give thanks. When you hear with your ear the sound of God's people worshiping together, give thanks. As you walk the grocery store aisle, yes, it may have cost more today than it did 50 years ago, but give thanks. When a friend calls or texts just to say hello, give thanks. But it also goes for when times are hard. If you long for a relationship to be restored, give thanks that God is drawing close to you in your sadness. And when you look at the world around us, as we do through the lens of the gospel, and we see so many who are walking far from Jesus, let's give thanks that the arms of Jesus are open to receive all who believe in him. Let's give thanks for that. If you're in the sunset years of life and you're wondering how long your days may be, even then, give thanks to the one who says, I am the way and the truth and the life. I said earlier in our service this morning, we're going to take some time and we're going to give thanks together. Part of that time will be your participation. And I hope you've already thought of a few things. It could be just one sentence. It might be a couple sentences. Please don't make it many more than that. I got a meal I want to get to today too, right? But as we discover here in Colossians 3, it's a command, it's a charge, it's a direction, it's an expectation that we would be a people who give thanks. As we're going to hear in our passage, and we heard certainly as well, God expects it. And I'll just add this about the giving thanks thing. When it is an intentional act of worship, there's this extra benefit that those who know Jesus get. And that is, as we count our blessings, you know the song, right? Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Even when we count them, even if it's a hard season of life or it's been a hard year of life, when we choose to give thanks because God expects it, it is in itself an act of obedience. And God honors that because we're doing what he intends. And I seek to be obedient. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, says the song. And giving thanks is part of that. It's a wonderful gift that he gives us. So be thankful. Sing with gratitude or thanksgiving in your hearts. Do everything giving thanks to God. And today is set aside to do that. But so is tomorrow. And so is next week. And so are how many days God gives us before we stand before the feet of Jesus. Thank him for food to eat and those to eat it with. Give thanks for those who join you in the journey here at Heritage Church. If you're a member here, this is the body of Christ in this place, just as it is in other places of worship around the city, the state, this nation, and the world. In a moment, we're going to stand and sing, and I often like to quote hymns at the end of the sermon because, well, I plan the service, so I know the song's coming, and I think it's good for us to know we're going to sing this, but we're going to sing Praise to the Lord the Almighty, and in the third stanza, we're going to sing this. Have you not seen all that is needful has been sent by his gracious ordaining? Have you seen it? Have you seen Jesus? Come to him. Have you seen the blessings that God gives you in family and friends and community? Thank him. Have you seen it? All of it. Sent by his gracious ordaining. Wonderful invitation to give thanks again this morning. I hope it'll be a robust time for us in a few moments when we do the same. For no other reason, ultimately, than we do know the gospel, and it compels us to be thankful. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, you charge us. And sometimes we feel like those little children when their parents say to him, now say thank you, but help our hearts to be grateful, to willingly come again to you this day and every day, to be thankful for the many blessings you give us, not least of which, of course, is the work of Christ, the finished work on the cross, by which we find a peace that is surpassing understanding and a word that calls us to life and a name which gives freedom. We bless you, O God, on this day of thanksgiving for what we see, even for what we cannot see. Trusting your hand is in the midst of all of it. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.